How's it going, my friends? You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 330.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's up, guys? I got another masterclass jam-packed with information that is going to take your marketing game to another level so that you can convert more prospects into leads, leads to appointments, appointments to deals, and ultimately make more money, help people. So, guys, I have my my buddy, my friend, Evil Dragunov on the podcast today. And Evil is somebody who has been a licensed contractor for 10-plus years. He has done well over 200 fix-and-flip wholesale deals. Got started in this business in 2007, not that long ago, all things considered, and is just a serial entrepreneur. You know, the guy has multiple businesses. You'll hear us talk about how he balances multiple businesses and has a family, super successful entrepreneur, investor, very, very sharp. It's actually really cool because aside from his real estate business, you know, he's had the bandwidth to really focusing on a lot of software that helps real estate investors. And one of the things we're going to be talking about today, guys, is text message marketing and all the pros, the very few cons, how to drive your cost per lead down, how to increase your response rate, get more deals, specifically what you want to be texting people, the frequency and how often you want to be texting them, who's the best person to be managing the outgoing SMS messages, where to get the list, how to get the phone numbers. I mean, we go pretty deep into all things text message marketing, and he's an expert. You know, in 2017, he really figured out that direct mail was just a challenge for him. You know, it was expensive, cost per lead, cost per deal kept rising, and even today, that's even a bigger challenge for most investors. In addition to low response rates, and he figured out there's so many more benefits to SMS, to text message marketing. We even talk about how to do it in a compliant way, because that's obviously a big conversation in our space. So I think you're going to get a lot out of this podcast episode here with my good buddy, Evo. So let's dive right in. Evo, what's going on, my man?
What's up, Alex?
What's going on? Dude, this is awesome to get you on. You and I have probably known each other, I want to say, a couple years at this point. You know?
Yeah, about two and a half years, maybe.
2.5 years, man. I know you got started back in 07, and it seems like your name just pops up more and more frequently in our circles. And that's usually a good thing, man. And in your case, it definitely is. So I see you moving and shaking out there with your real estate business, your software business, and everything you have going on. So how are things on your end?
Everything is great. There's obviously been a lot of changes since even I first, you know, got to know you. And things are looking up. I mean, from our standpoint, you know, we consolidated a lot of our businesses. We just consolidated a lot of them. We have actually three partners now in a lot of the businesses, and we have like six or seven different ventures that we're kind of like trying to systemize. And obviously, you know, wholesaling is one of the main ones. But along with wholesaling, we have a debt collection business, a CBD oil company. We started giving people money for lending, for fix and flips. We got a couple of new projects, building a couple of houses, and we're looking to, you know, in the next half a year to a year to diversify into multifamily.
Okay.
And then obviously like some software development things as well that we're trying to do.
Let me start here, man. How do you manage it all? Like, how do you juggle all these different businesses? Because I know you have a very successful, you know, wholesale fix and flip business. I mean, I know you're doing a lot of deals. So I'm a customer as far as, you know, one of the services you provide for skip tracing, and I'm looking at some of your other services. So obviously, you know, you're a successful entrepreneur, man. How do you juggle it all? And I know you got a family. Are you just a machine, dude? Or like, how do you make it happen?
I mean, honestly, I try to get a head start in the day. I always try to wake up very early, as early as I can. And it's been a struggle, though. I mean, obviously managing a lot of things is always a struggle. And I think obviously it helps because we have three partners. So Annie is one of our partners, my sister, and then Jesse Burrell. So every one of us is kind of responsible for different things in the business. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I mean, it's not possible. I mean, there's just too many moving pieces in each and every one of those businesses, you know, when it comes to just operations and marketing, and it's just different business strategies for everything. So it's definitely a challenge. I think we're, you know, we've gotten better at it as time has, you know, as time passes. And a lot of it has been reading, honestly, books, you know, figuring out, you know, time blocking, you know, principles. You know, great book that I actually am reading now is Your Brain at Work.
Okay.
So I just, yeah, so it's a great book on trying to, you know, how your brain works and, you know, how you prioritize things and how you time block and being just more efficient with your time.
Got it.
So that's been like a great help. But it's a struggle. It's always a, there's always new things popping up, issues, problems, things that you have to do. And
Sure. Yeah, no, you mentioned you wake up at 5 a.m. I'm kind of curious. I haven't asked somebody this in a long time, but with somebody juggling so many successful businesses and obviously you have a family, like I mentioned, what is your morning routine? Like, do you have something that you have found works for you, or like you wake up at 5 a.m., how do you set your morning up for success so that it impacts the rest of your day?
Yeah, so I mean, I've kind of played around with like different things, and obviously I've read, you know, The Miracle Morning. Mm-hmm. So got a couple of things from there. Darren Hardy has a good procedure for, you know, just getting your day started the right way. For me, honestly, the way I'm doing it now, and it's been kind of, I've been mixing it up every couple of months, but I try to, and again, my schedule kind of depends on obviously a lot of it from my family. You know, before I, you know, a couple months ago, I used to go to the gym in the morning. Now it's in the afternoon, just because of my family's, you know, schedule. But I get up at 5, you know, go for a walk with the dogs, try to take them out, and honestly, I get to work.
Got it.
One of the biggest differentiators for me has been I try to work on a task, on like one major task, the first couple of hours of the day, mm-hmm. and try to get that task done before I kind of go into the, you know, all the emails and responding back and forth with different things. Obviously, there's a little bit of things because we have 6 developers now, software developers. So there are, you know, some of them are outside of the country. So communicating with them has been like a challenge just because of the time difference.
Sure.
But, you know, for the most part, I try to block, you know, about 2 hours every morning to try to focus on the one thing that I need to get done for the day.
I forgot what book it was that I read, but it talks about the concept of eating the frog, quote unquote, first thing in the morning. Like, so if you look at your to-do list, you know, the tasks that you have been procrastinating or putting off, more times than not is something, you know, you need to get done. And so by eating that frog first thing in the morning, so to speak, and tackling that, it, you know, it sets up your day and it kind of frees up some mental equity. I know whenever I knock out a project Evo that I've kind of been putting off and I'm not much of a procrastinator, I feel so much more accomplished once I get it done, especially if I'm able to do it before noon. So it sounds like that's worked for you from a productivity standpoint. And then we'll kind of hop into the heart of what we're going to talk about today with SMS, text message marketing, cold calling. What productivity tools are you using? You talked about time blocking. So I love the idea of working in sprints, you know, work an hour to 90 minutes, take some time off and kind of reset. Is there anything else you're doing to help you manage the different businesses and kind of keep you productive throughout the day?
You know, a great tip that I got from a very successful entrepreneur out of like Dallas, I talked to him like a couple of weeks ago. He told me, again, he's just very big on just being productive throughout the day. A great tip he told me is, you know, work an hour and a half, take a 10-minute break. Like your brain just needs that 10-minute break.
Yeah.
And I don't, you know, I sometimes do it. Sometimes I don't, honestly, even though I should do it, you know, more consistently. But I can definitely see some help, some benefit from it. The biggest differentiator, I'd say, is probably you have more energy just in the later parts of the day by doing that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think sometimes when I kind of blow through and I'm working hours, like I don't crash in the afternoon, but you start to like fade away and lose energy. It's
correct,
kind of like the marathon runner versus the guy that sprints and has a little to recover. So same idea. Man, I'm really excited about not just having you on the podcast, and by the way, I appreciate just all the positive feedback you've given me throughout the years, man, and for your support. It means a lot to me. But you are an expert when it comes to not just wholesaling, fix and flipping, and just, you know, doing that business, but I want to kind of dive into the weeds with text message marketing, because sure. I don't know when it was for you, but it seems like at some point over the course of the last year or two, you really just decided to focus in specifically on that marketing channel and also on cold calling and really figure out what works and what doesn't. We, as you know, because we've kind of had some offline conversations, we got started with SMS marketing, I don't know, 3-4 months ago, and we're still in the process of figuring out and kind of tweaking it. So before we get into like some of the questions I have planned for you, why SMS marketing? Like, what are some of the pros of doing that versus a lot of the other channels that we all know, you know, PPC, direct mail, you know, bandit signs. I mean, there's so many marketing channels out there. Why should somebody listening consider text message marketing?
Sure. So, I mean, obviously when I kind of got started into like the real estate and the wholesale game, everybody was talking direct mail, you know, 3-4 years ago. So that's what I did. I mean, I did direct mail for, you know, I never liked it. I just, you know, obviously you spend money on direct mail, you throw some money at it and hopefully somebody, you know, you hope somebody calls you back. I was never sold on the idea, to be honest. I mean, it worked. It, you know, brought back some, you know, some people called us. We got, you know, we've gotten deals. But we were averaging, you know, between 3 to 4x of what we spent every month direct mail, which is decent. It's not, you know, great. It's a good ROI. But about I want to say 2017 December, I kind of started looking into just text message marketing, and there's obviously different legalities when it comes to like the different businesses that we even have. Mm-hmm. But specifically for like, you know, real estate, you know, I started creating like basically started creating different scrapers and bots trying to automate, you know, text message marketing. And, you know, one thing led to another. You know, we started developing a software. We kind of scrapped that software just because of the legalities surrounding it. And right now we're redoing our like a brand new software just for, obviously to stay TCPA compliant. Mm-hmm. But text messaging is just a great way. It's just very quick. Somebody I think once mentioned to me like how, you know, let's say a list of 10,000 people and let's say you direct mail them. I mean, you would know probably in about a week to maybe 10 days, you know, how successful that list is. I mean, figure you have 3 days, you know, by the time you mail that list, by the time people, you know, start calling you back, by the time they always get it, within like the first week, you really don't know if that list is even successful. Mm-hmm. In text message marketing, I can find that out literally the same day. I mean, I can send out text messages to, you know, 10,000, 12,000 people, and I'll know if this list is even successful or not. And by the way, I'll do it for, you know, one tenth of the cost of the direct mail. So that was just a big driver for me. Obviously, like decreasing our monthly marketing spend and increasing our ROI. So that's why we chose text messaging. I mean, I've always liked, you know, cold calling as well, just because it's a more proactive way of getting deals and leads.
Right.
But text messaging is just... honestly, it's great. It's just changed our business big time. And, you know, wholesaling still works. It's just text messaging is better. I mean,
yeah, got it. So a couple of things I want to piggyback or just dive a little deeper. You said for 1/10 of a cost of direct mail, you're sending out text messages for what? A penny or two, a couple pennies a text?
Yeah, depending on what service you're using. I mean, I can mention a couple of services. And then obviously, with anything else, you know, if you spend more, you get it for cheaper.
Of course. Right. And also the other thing is the, I don't know what the right word is or the term is. In direct mail, obviously it's the response rate. I'm not sure if that would also apply to text message marketing, but significantly more people respond when we send text messages versus direct mail. Like we're lucky if we can get to 0.5% right now response rate in direct mail. That's how competitive and noisy that marketing channel is, at least here in our market. And just being a part of a couple of different masterminds, I hear the same thing from 99% of investors out there. So I think that's another big pro with SMS marketing is the number of responses you actually get from people, whether or not they're interested in selling their property.
Yeah, at least you know. I mean, you know, direct mail, there's always, you know, the next 5-10 years, there's always going to be, it's still going to be profitable for some people, especially if you go very niche. And there's different like tactics on the way you can do that. But just from my perspective, mailing to the masses, you know, getting a, you know, a list of 30,000, 40,000 people and direct mailing them doesn't make a whole lot of sense, honestly, at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, it goes back to ROI.
Right. And I think, you know, to your point, Ivo, where the market, in the direction the market's going, nobody has a crystal ball. I think it's even that much more important to have a lean operation. Really look at where your money is going out. You know, look at your P&L, look at your expenses. And to Ivo's point, last year we were mailing between 30 and 40,000 postcards a month. We are sending out a fraction of that because we have decided to stack our list. And I know that at some point we're going to talk about that and really focus on the people that are most likely. With direct mail, I feel like there's just so much waste in mail, right? Especially when we're looking at a 0.03 or 0.04% response rate. I mean, we're missing out on 99.5% of the people out there. And that's painful when you're sending, you know, 30, 40. I know people sending 100,000 pieces a month and the response rate isn't there. Now, to your point, it's still profitable because one deal takes care of most campaigns, but correct, you need a lot of resources and infrastructure to process all that and a lot of systems. And so that's definitely one thing I love about SMS marketing. The other thing I wanted to follow up on is addressing the pink elephant in the room as far as, you know, it being, is it compliant? Is it not compliant? The legalities. I kind of see you smiling because I'm sure there's a ton of conversation around that.
Yeah.
I know you have a lot of licenses, but I don't think you're an attorney. You're not giving any type of legal advice or anything. So that's the CYA we have here on the podcast. But from everything you know, the people you've talked to, how do people remain compliant if this is a marketing channel that they want to deploy in their business?
Sure. So as far as like the wholesale industry is concerned, there's two major like laws that kind of govern this one. And again, I'm not an attorney, so consult your attorney. But the system that you're using cannot be an auto dialer, in that there needs to be a human intervention between when you're, you know, sending messages.
Correct.
And two is you're not soliciting for services. You're not selling them anything. You know, for wholesale industry, obviously we're offering them money to purchase their property, which, you know, for the most part, we are compliant. Now, again, I mean, this is several lawyers' opinions, but I mean, you know,
yeah,
until you get sued, and you,
that's right.
I mean, there's a higher degree of risk with anything telemarketing, even cold calling, texting, you know, RVMs, obviously compared to direct mail.
Correct. And we've spent, I don't know, close to $1,000. We've consulted with a couple top TCPA attorneys that have been recommended. They told us the same exact thing. Just because you remain compliant doesn't mean you might not have to defend yourself. It just takes one suit. So at the end of the day, there's an element of risk that you have to kind of weigh out and in your business determine, does it make sense, risk versus reward? So having said that, now that we've kind of addressed the compliance component of it, there are platforms out there that require human intervention, meaning somebody has to actually be, you know, clicking a button to send out text messages. So that is one way to remain compliant. But again, consult with an attorney. But now that we've kind of gotten the non-sexy stuff out of the way, what makes a successful SMS marketing campaign? So I don't know. I kind of want to, instead of having a question, because that's very general, I want to toss it back at you. You're the expert with this. Where should we start? Should we start with the copy or the type of content that needs to be going out when it comes to SMS? Or should we start with, you know, the platform, the person? What are your thoughts as far as where we begin so that people can start to formulate a game plan if they do want to deploy this channel?
Sure. So there's a couple of systems out there. Obviously, the system that a lot of people are using right now, obviously, like Lead Sherpa, they are TCPA compliant. There's another one that's TCPA compliant. I can't remember the name right now. I'm not using it. Some people are using, you know, Text Magic for, you know, sending messages. There's another system out there that obviously a lot of people know, like Roar, which is, you know, there's yeah, violates one of the rules for, you know, it's an auto basic dialer, but a lot of people use it. And, you know, the way I look at it, like again, with anything, you have to be consistent with your marketing. I think just, you know, basically send messages to the exact same list that you're already mailing to before. Obviously, like just picking the list criteria is a whole nother topic. I mean, you can go after, you know, anything with distress, you know, pre-foreclosures, tax defaults. When you start stacking those lists, obviously you can narrow down the quantity and focus more on quality. And, you know, as far as the message, honestly, it's we try to mix it up because you don't ever want to send out the exact same message. The more of the same message that you send out, the more carriers are going to block those numbers. Because think about it from like Verizon and AT&T's perspective. Like if they're seeing the same exact message going to, you know, 200 of their subscribers, they're going to flag that phone number as a spam phone.
And like it's spam, right?
They're going to eventually block that number from being, you know, being able to deliver messages. So obviously you want to mix up the messages. I mean, anything from, hey, you know, my name is Ivo. I'm buying a house in the area. I just wanted to see if you had any interest in selling your property at 123 West Main Street. Obviously, if you have like mail merging tags, will help with the delivery. Just a couple of things, you know, I'd probably stay, we're staying about 100 messages per phone number per day at the moment. Some systems you can send out a little bit more. Before you used to be able to send out literally, you know, 700-800 messages per phone number about a year and a half ago. But right now, if you are sending more than 100, 150, I think 200 is the very, very maximum that I, you know, any system would probably even allow you to. Okay. You know, anything above that, the phone number is going to get blocked. Again, this didn't used to be the case, but now it is. Just because of the, you know, the amount of people that are sending messages on a daily basis.
Right.
But again, being consistent, you know, if it's a niche list, if it's, let's say somebody with a pre-foreclosure that has, you know, that's going into, you know, foreclosure, let's say in 2-3 months, obviously you want to send them a couple of messages within this time frame. If it's somebody, if it's more of a generalized list, let's say it's an, let's say just an equity list or out of state owner list, that'll be more, maybe send them once a month, once every 2-3 weeks, depending on the size of the volume. I think a lot of these questions are going to be dependent on what your team even looks like.
Okay.
Because, you know, do you have VAs? Do you have lead managers? Do you have acquisition managers to be able to handle a lot of the phone calls? So I think a lot of these questions will depend on how your team is structured in the back end. So you are able to, you know, capitalize on any kind of marketing that you're doing.
Yeah, I got it. And so a couple of things I want to unpack there that you said, and my apologies, I probably should have started with, you know, I don't want to get too deep into where people go and get lists because we've had several podcasts on where to get the data. But obviously, whatever list you might be mailing or whatever data you get, you want to then skip trace that, you know, which is just a way of getting phone numbers for each of the records. You know, we'll have a link where you guys, it's the same service that Evo basically runs, is where we do our skip tracing, and we've had just phenomenal results with the accuracy of the data, which is the biggest thing. You never want to go cheap on the data, you know, because there's so many providers out there and some are not so good. So make sure that you're getting quality data. So once you skip it and get those phone numbers, now you're off to the races.
Correct.
One thing I definitely want to touch on, Ivo, is it sounds like whatever platform people use, you would recommend that they find out how often they rotate the phone numbers or how that, because you talked about how 100 to 200 is the max. I'm assuming these platforms will rotate phone numbers.
Yeah, that's how every system is designed. I mean, you know, Lead Chirp is designed the same way. Roar is designed the same way. Text Message Magic is designed the same way. You know, if you are sending, you know, let's say, and again, it kind of goes back to like a lot of my trial and errors in the early days. A system, you know, that only has one phone number, that phone number can only send out X amount of messages per day. Honestly, even per week and a per month basis, you know, if you're sending it exceeding the limit, that number is going to get spammed very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Got it. Okay. I want to fast forward here. You mentioned, you know, this, a lot of these answers depend on what somebody's team looks like. Who is the ideal person to man the platform that's going to be sending out the messages? Is it a virtual assistant that's well-trained? Is it an acquisitions person, lead manager? Like, in your eyes, based on your experience, who's the ideal person that's going to be actually firing off these text messages and then engaging with the homeowner who may or may not have a property to sell?
Yeah, so I've gone back and forth, and I've actually done it like in a variety of ways. But what I would say is like just a VA, having a VA send out messages, take the initial responses and try to filter out some of the leads is a great way to do it. I mean, obviously it's going to save you some money. I've done that and that's what we are doing now. We have two people that's all they're doing. They're managing responses. They're, you know, shooting off the first, you know, two questions actually to the people trying to gauge interest. And at that point, for us at least, once a lead there is interest in an offer, then it gets it gets sent to acquisitions.
Okay. So it sounds like, because that was one of the questions I have for you, is do you want that person, the VA, trying to build rapport, engaging in a back and forth? But for you, it sounds like you really just want them to raise their hand and say, I have a house to sell, and then kick it over to your team and let them work the lead from there.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to like cold calling. Let's say you're outsourcing the cold calling. I mean, would you want the cold caller to close the deal over the phone?
No, unless you have a really, really strong caller that unless
it's like an in-office, cold caller / acquisition type person. It's the same, honestly, it's the same way. It's just, we're looking at the VA who's going to be sending out the messages as just a lead qualified person.
Okay.
They're just trying to gauge initial interest. And then if there is interest, it gets sent to acquisitions.
Understood. Ivo, one of the things I think I mentioned to this to you before we started recording is that I think one of the challenges we've had through our SMS marketing is that our VA will engage in a quick back and forth with them, but her goal is the same thing, kick the lead over. And it's almost like it's coming across as another cold contact when our lead manager or acquisition manager reaches out to the seller. They're like, oh, who are you? No, I never really engaged. Like, there's a disconnect there in the handoff. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I know exactly what you're asking me. And can I ask you, what is the typical time frame between when an acquisition or when, let's say that your assistant or lead manager sends them a message, and by the time it gets to the other person?
Yeah, so the goal is ASAP, and ASAP is not a direct answer. Within minutes, really, is our target. But on average, I'd probably say half an hour to an hour between the time that the lead goes into Podio and somebody on our team is engaging that seller to take them through the script. Again, to be 100% honest, we haven't measured that specific KPI. Yeah. We have that measured for direct mail. For SMS, we don't have that in place, but I would guess about half an hour on average.
Yeah, and we actually ran into the same issue a while back, honestly. And I think half an hour is way too long. Okay. I think you want to be to continue the conversation, maximum 5 minutes. You just want to if the person's texting you back, there's no reason within 5 minutes somebody can't text them back or maybe get them on the phone call. We've had this exact same issue, and I think the way Podio even handles tasks is a little bit is not the ideal way, because you may have, just kind of going back to Podio, you may have 50 tasks for the day, and then that text message task is going to be task 51. So just searching through that is a little bit challenging.
Right.
So I think that's kind of one of the issues, one of the solutions, honestly. I think there's too much of a gap between when she's finishing the conversation, when the other person is starting it.
Right.
And, with Podio, I don't know, obviously, but the way you have it set up, but we have it set up to where the system and Podio uses the exact same phone number. So there's the person on the other end never knows it. Systems are ever switched or they're talking to a completely different person.
Man, that's huge right there, because I'll tell you that it just hit me like a ton of bricks that when we engage with a seller, it's a different phone number. And I think that I didn't really think it through, but I believe that's a huge disconnect right there. Right. Not to get too techie, but is that something that your platform, the platform that you've developed?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So we're actually testing that. So the SMS features are obviously they're not out yet. We're still beta testing a lot of it, but that's something that it's just a simple a phone relay. You can also do it with a lot of different systems. I know LeadChirp has it as well, to where you can do it from your phone. Obviously, I think they limit it to 100. Roar has a different platform that you can do it as well through it. But basically, it just mimics the phone number and just relays the conversation back and forth.
Okay.
So technically, our two systems, whether you text from Podio or our system, they just mimic each other.
Understood. How many people, once your virtual assistant Ivo submits the lead into Podio, how many people do you have that are responsible for getting back to that seller within minutes, up to 5 minutes? Because we have an inbound and outbound lead manager, but oftentimes they're on a call or they're just, it's been so challenging for us to get back to these people via text anyway within minutes. When calls come in from our direct mail, that's a KPI. They have 90% of the calls have to get answered live during business hours. That is a KPI. We track and we're pretty good at it. But with the SMS, man, it has been a challenge for us.
Yeah, for us, we actually round robin to each acquisition right now. So when a lead gets pushed as a lead, it actually round robins to the acquisition managers. We have three right now. Mm-hmm. So that's how, you know, they're basically, we try to keep them. And actually, we're building out some KPI dashboards using Clipfolio to be able to, like, automate the tracking of those. So we know if somebody's, like, taking a longer time to respond, and look, is it going to happen? Absolutely. I mean, somebody, like you said, maybe stuck on a phone call, but ideally, you want to answer within a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I got it. That's
a perfect case. It's in a perfect world, you want to do it. I mean, does it always happen? No.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Man, I saw a chart not too long ago of, it's kind of hard to explain on an audio podcast, but I saw a chart that for every like minute to 5 minutes that you take to respond to a potential client or prospect, a lead basically, the connect rate significantly decreases. By the time you get to an hour to 3 hours, it's like you have, it's single digit percent of actually connecting with that person. But if you're able to connect with them within the first minute to 3 minutes, it's like 70-80% connect ratio. And granted, this is across multiple businesses, the study that was done, but I think it applies to our space and most businesses. So we spend so much time, energy, and resources on planning our marketing campaigns, spending the money, that so many people fumble the ball when it comes to actually picking up the phone or responding to these people as quickly as possible. You know, it's crazy. I mean, even we're guilty of it right now with our SMS marketing. So it's interesting. I think that's a big opportunity for those of you listening now to increase your results just by getting significantly better at responding and connecting with homeowners as quickly as possible.
Yeah, and I think something what you mentioned, something that I've always kind of struggled with, any new process, I try to overcomplicate the process. Say, well, if this, then that. But in reality, a lot of times when you're struggling, just simplification is easier. It's just much better. It's going to get you more results.
No, that's a gold nugget right there.
Yeah,
man. No, you nailed it. Keep it simple. The more you can simplify this business, the better. And I think a lot of, you know, visionaries and entrepreneurs have a challenge with that. They have to overthink it and, create flow charts and complicate it. And sometimes you're right, man. Most of the time, I would say if you can simplify a process, it's a better process.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not perfect doing that, but because I do try to overcomplicate things. Like when we first set up our KPI boards, I mean, it was like 10 different like tabs in Excel, like tracking everything. And then like, no, this is not going to work.
I totally get it, man. I totally get it. As far as training a VA, Ebo, with this, did you come up with like an FAQ? Can you kind of talk about how you go about the process of, we're not going to talk about finding somebody. Let's say people have gotten to the point where they've identified the right person on their team or they hire a VA. How do we go about training people on not the ins and outs of using the platform, because that's going to vary, but just how to engage and how to identify people that are interested? I mean, am I overthinking it with the question? Is it just, are you interested and do you have a house to sell? Yes. Click a button and put it into Podio and that's it.
Yeah. It's just, training them is basically you have to map out the five or six responses that, potential, seller can throw back at you, like via your first question. And then you have to figure out, if they respond this, what do I answer? So just keep it simple. I mean, the conversation can go in different ways. But you're going to get pretty much the same six responses from any text messaging. And it'll fall in one of those six buckets. So then the VA is trying to determine which bucket they fall in and how do I answer that question? How do I rebut it? From then on for us, it just goes to acquisition. When a person responds back, if there's still interest, it goes to acquisitions. And then obviously our acquisitions are, trained a whole, differently than the virtual assistants.
You may not know this off the top of your head, but can you think of any of those five or six buckets or those typical responses that in your experience, you've seen homeowners come back with when they receive, a text out of the blue?
I mean, it's, no, I'm not interested. Take me off your list. Those are obviously the people that, we want to always take off our list. Sure. What's your offer? What other? I mean, basically it's, we have it mapped out. It's like, sure, what's your offer? How much would you give me for the house? Which is the same thing, you know, what's your pretty much offer? Not right now, or maybe somebody else, maybe, hey, you know, you reached my husband, or you reached me, but it's my husband's house, or, you know, it's my relative's house. So we just have answers to all of those questions. And again, if they re-engage back, still interested, and we just send them to our acquisitions for them to try to either continue the conversation or get them on a phone call. I mean, ideally, you want to get them on a phone call. It's just that, you know, we've had deals that we've closed that we've never even talked to the person.
Yeah.
Honestly, everything's been via text messages or sending a contract via email. There's been some deals that we've gotten just we've never communicated with the person. And some people choose not to, quite honestly. It's just which way do they prefer to like communicate with you. I think that just given those options, we've had like a person that we've been trying to, it was a hot deal for us. We've been trying to get that person on the phone. He just does not answer the phone. You text him, he'll text you back, but he does not answer his phone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that prefer to communicate by text and not, you know, so we've closed some deals the same way where we've communicated with the seller 90, 95% of the time via text. And every once in a blue moon, they might pick up a call. So that's a good point. Understand the homeowner that you're working with and what's their preferred method of communication and lean on that. I have a couple more questions for you as we start to wind down as far as SMS marketing is concerned. Do you guys avoid giving out details about your company, websites, names, things that like, are you playing it a little more cautious as far as that's concerned or you're not, that's not really...
We usually do.
Okay.
We usually try to, you know, get them on the phone. We try to deflect a lot of the questions, you know, at least initially, just so we know who we're talking to.
Yeah.
And then obviously once we get them on the phone call, it's a different conversation a lot of times. But initially, you are right. Yeah, we try to stay. Okay.
Yeah, you want to make sure you're speaking to a real homeowner that has a property they're considering selling. So I'm totally understand.
Correct. Yeah, we communicate with a lot of people like, hey, you know, sure, I'm interested in selling. It comes down to, well, I'm just messing with you. I'm a renter, pretty much. So,
yeah, understood. Got it. And by the way, always, you know, one of the things that we do is we always you got to be careful how you do this because if they're not licensed, it's illegal. You're not in most states. You're not allowed to give a commission or anything like that. But always ask for referrals, even for the people that are not interested. You know, ask them, hey, do you know of any vacant or abandoned properties, or do you know of any for sale by owners? You know, if you do, keep our number on hand, and then you can kind of like play it safe and be smart with what you communicate to them verbally versus in writing. But always ask for referrals. That little tip right there can maybe net you an extra deal or two every year. Just by taking a few extra seconds to just ask the question every now and then, you're actually going to get an address back or the contact information, and it's a free lead just by asking.
Yeah, we do that like on the cold call, like you know, it's included in our cold call script. We've gotten deals, hey, you know, like because I think the majority of people, you tell them, hey, are you selling, you know, 123 West Main Street? They tell you no, and they stop there as far as thinking. Like when you ask them that question, hey, do you maybe have maybe even other houses you're considering, or maybe you know somebody that is selling, and like, oh, let me see, well, maybe my neighbor is selling, or maybe this person potentially could be interested.
Right.
So you're perfectly correct. Yeah, you're 100% correct.
Yeah. And it's something that you can quickly implement that takes basically no effort, and it's free to implement, which is awesome. Ivo, last couple of questions for you, man. How do you guys handle the follow-up process with your list that you're sending text messages to? So let's say, you know, you have a list of 10,000 phone numbers. You send out, it takes you a week or 2 weeks or a month, however long, it doesn't really matter, but it takes you X amount of time to get through and send the initial text message to that 10,000. For the people that didn't respond, how are you guys circling back and following up with those people? Like, what is that? Well, I guess what I'm asking is, what's the follow-up system before they even become a lead and get into your Podio system?
Yeah, honestly, I don't know if I have the perfect answer for you, because I think it's going to depend on the system that you're using and how it handles like any kind of follow-up. I mean, some systems can track basically people that just did not respond at all. So you can just resend them a second message to the people that did not respond at all. Some systems can. The way I have historically like just managed our things, and we're obviously building it into the system as far as like an automated follow-up sequences, but again, everything is TCPA compliant. the way I've done it before is with Excel. Honestly, I have it. Hey, you know, I'm sending out these messages. Then I got a response basically from, you know, X amount, and I just remark to the people that didn't respond at all. It's not the easiest way of doing it. It's going to be a system limitation at this.
Are you?
It's not easy, and I'll tell you why. Because it's very hard. It's especially when you're dealing with like bigger data. You can obviously run through a lot more data than you are maybe with you know direct mail. Obviously, depending on the size of your team and you know how much you're allocating to marketing. But in just generally speaking, you're going to run through a lot more data. So managing all of that data can become challenging.
Okay. What's the key to successful SMS marketing and getting deals? I'm sure it's several things, but would you say, obviously you got to have the right data. Would you say it's having the right person behind the system? Would you say it's the platform you use? Would you say it's the consistency, which obviously you and I know it's critical for any marketing you do. Like if you kind of had to put your finger on one or two things, as we start to put a bow on the episode, what would you say is key that people really need to know as they, you know, deploy this marketing channel?
So obviously you have to be consistent with your marketing. That's just number one rule. You know, you can't just send out, you know, 10,000 messages and, you know, you didn't get a deal, so you give up on it. But the one thing that I would say is probably just speed of which you're text messaging these people. I'd probably say this is probably the one thing that would make you successful, like more successful in the text messages. I just think that people, you know, I think when we first got started, we accidentally texted one of my friends who happens to be a landlord. He's like, hey, just letting you know. And that was a year and a half ago. Hey, just letting you know. I sent out a message 3 p.m. They didn't get back to me until, you know, 11 o'clock that next day. I'm like, okay, so that's obviously an issue. So I think that's probably the one tip that I can give you.
Okay. Have you found, I just thought of a question now that I want to just take a second to ask you, but have you found or split tested a certain time of the day that works better in connecting with people and getting a response, or is it just kind of random?
I have not tested it, but if I had to guess, I would say probably it's random also.
Okay.
I just think it really depends on each person's, habits and, you know, their time schedules. For me, you know, I try to get, mornings, I answer people quicker than in the afternoons.
Yeah.
That's just me, you know, cause you know, in the afternoons I'm with my family, you know, my phone may not be on me. So, but again, everybody's different.
Right. Fair enough. Okay. I want to learn a little bit more. If you could tell us about some of the different software platforms that you've developed that, you know, a lot of successful investors are leveraging. But before I let you go on that, is there anything I haven't asked you, Ivo, as it relates to text message marketing that I should ask you that somebody listening might want to know or need to know? Or did I cover the important points here?
I think we covered the important points, honestly. Obviously, there's, you know, if anybody, you know, has some questions, feel free to reach out to either me or you with any questions. But as far as the softwares, I mean, obviously we have like, we do some like skip trace for people. We have, you know, as far as the real estate industry is concerned, we have a new software, batchleadstacker.com, which is a platform for, you know, managing, you know, all of your lists. And again, we're implementing text message marketing within it. We are beta testing it right now, so we should have it up and running on the site within a couple of months. It's going to be TCPA compliant. So, that's what we've been working on us the past couple of months. So the lead stacker is just a way of, you know, filtering your list, seeing which people appear on multiple lists. You can, it'll standardize any single address, whether it's the mailing or the property address. So standardizing basically means, you know, if you're missing a zip code, it'll automatically input that zip code in there properly according to the USPS records.
Okay.
And it's going to show you all vacant properties. And we do have like a free account for people, and you know, it's 5,000 records, but they can run any address they want.
Very cool, guys. Well, just full disclosure, guys, Ivo has been cool enough to set me up with an affiliate link. If you guys want to go through that, you certainly don't have to. If you do sign up, I do get a few extra dollars, so I can buy some Starbucks. But, you know, just want to be fully transparent. But we actually we've been using it now for, I don't know, 3-4 months, Ivo's skip tracing service. So if you guys go to flipempire.com/skip, You can actually go through that link and you can get the records at, I believe it's 18 cents per record, Ivo. Is that correct?
That's yes.
For our group. Awesome. Which is, just so you know, at the beginning of the year, I was using another provider. I won't even say the name. And I was paying 31 cents a record. So that kind of gives you an idea, you know, of the difference. And it might not sound like a lot, but when you're doing thousands of these things, it adds up. And I'm a big, big fan of list stacking. It's a way to, again, compress from X amount of records down to like the people that are on multiple lists that are probably more motivated to sell you a house at the price that you would need to buy it. So I'm excited to test out the software. If you guys go to flipempire.com/stack, STACK, you can check it out. And Ivo, man, love what you're doing, brother. I'm glad that it's crazy, man. I remember you and I connected. We started working together in a small group I put together a couple of years ago. Yep. And you know, you connected with me through the podcast, and now we've come full circle and we have you on, and you're out there killing it, man. Running 5-6 businesses. I don't even know how many businesses you're running now, but hats off to you, man, for just being a machine, man, and for setting the tone and for, you know, raising the expectations for myself and for a lot of people listening, because it's very possible. You just have to be focused, committed, and leverage some of the productivity tools that you talked about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Alex. I mean, like I said, I've told you like a million times, like, you know, your podcast has been great. I mean, super actionable, you know, tips and tricks for anyone. Just love what you are doing. And if I can help in any other way, let me know.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Well, again, man, appreciate the time. Guys, you've heard me talk about this before. Just take one thing, you know, if you're not text message marketing right now, strongly consider it. You know, again, consult with the right people to make sure you're doing it in a compliant way. But it's a very cool channel because the cost per lead is significantly lower than, you know, probably anything out there that you're doing, would be my guess. And yeah. It's a much quicker, faster way to connect with people and convert prospects into leads, and then leads into appointments, and appointments into deals, etc. So it's something we've been using for the last 3-4 months. We've seen some results from it, and I feel like we're still in the beginning infancy stages of it. There's so much that there's a couple things I picked up from you, Ivo, that I'm going to take to my team and implement right away. The biggest one being just connecting with people as quickly as possible, you know, and it makes sense, but sometimes you know it, but you don't do it right. So
yeah. That's
what I want to challenge you guys with, is just take something that you heard and learned today and implement it. And that's how you can pay me back. So appreciate you guys tuning into the show. Ivo, how do people connect with you if they have more questions about any of the services or, you know, anything we discussed today?
Yeah, just find me on Facebook.
Okay. We'll have a link to your Facebook profile on the show notes page. So awesome, guys. Appreciate the time. And I'm looking forward to connecting with you on another Flip Empire show upcoming here.
Perfect. Thank you, Alex.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.